Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Max Rushton.
And this is the H&J Daily, featuring some of the best parts of this afternoon's show. Well, she probably never expected to be on TalkSport, but the British singer-songwriter Celeste joined us.
She did. I thought we acquitted ourselves well, Paul, as well.
Well, I'd like to think so. We got down with the kids.
This isn't Six Music, is it? We can be honest with people.
That's very true.
We did very well, I
think. And it was sport-related, as you'll discover. You'll hear a bit from Sean Dyche and his very interesting press conference yesterday, and indeed reaction from the man who says he's quite used to Sean going off script like that. We had a bit of a chat about various things. Listeners got involved, of course, as always. We reflected on some of the football last night. And as part of that, we put a consoling arm around Paul McCaffrey, the comedian and Southampton fan, trying to get over that 9-0 defeat. So here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Max.
You may have noticed there was a 9-0 yesterday.
Yeah.
I really did. You have to feel so sorry for, you know, Alex Yankovic, don't you? Just that sort of impetuous, this is my debut, I'm going to go for it, I've got a great chance. And you could see Danny Ings' face in the background. Did you see it? When the challenge happened, you saw Danny Ings go, even his own teammate going, oh.
He just got a bit overexcited, didn't he?
I heard, obviously, you know, we don't know, obviously, he didn't mean it. A lot of people saying he's not that kind of player. We don't know that. I mean, it's possible that he does that every game in the 23s and then plays 1 minute at a time.
But
poor bloke, you just think, you just couldn't help feeling so sorry.
Well, you'd like to think
that'd
be your immediate reaction, but from what we hear this lunchtime, he's been getting a load of abuse, which is quite staggering.
Yeah, and racist abuse again. And I spoke to Troy Townsend on Monday about this, you sort of get the feeling now on social media that if any black player plays in a match and doesn't win, someone's going to racially abuse him. And you heard Jim and Simon saying it, and we all agree, until the social media companies do more, nothing's going to happen. But the social media companies don't really seem to care when, you know, people are putting fake news that affects democracies all over the world. So they don't care about that. They're hardly going to care about some footballers getting a bit of racist abuse.
Yeah, that was incredibly sad to hear that this lunchtime.
Let's hope he has a brilliant career.
Yeah.
You know, and in 10 years' time,
they'll still show
remember
that
first minute.
And he'll be like, all behind
when
him,
he said, when I lifted the World Cup, I did think back to that moment when I went in a bit too quickly on Scott McTominay.
At the end of the game, talking of which, it seemed one or two of the Southampton players seemed to be suggesting to Scott McTominay he made a lot of it. And I was thinking, oh, come on. You could see the look on his face. He's like, oh, come on. You know, that was, I think, that's a red all day.
A big mark on your inner thigh.
Of all the reds last night, that was the nailed on one.
And we should, I know we're going to talk about decisions a lot, but it's worth pointing out that Manchester United scored 9 goals. Doesn't happen a lot, does it? And so, you know, when there's 9, there's so many. I can't remember
every season to Southampton.
I can't remember any of them. You know, when there are 4 or 5 in a game, that was my favourite one, and I thought this was good, and they were a bit lucky. If you ask me, I cannot remember any of the Manchester United goals.
Probably remember the Cavani header.
This is like name that tune.
Yeah, the Cavani header for 4. I can just about remember that.
Okay.
But beyond that, no, there was a lot. They were quite, you know,
the penalty.
There was no worldies as such. They were just, you know, balls into the box. They were ruthless, United. They're, you know, very, very well done and all that. Have you been to a 9? Have you seen your team score 9?
No, I've seen a 7. Seen a 7? I think I've seen a 7 for Cambridge United, and a couple of 6s. And that's about it. I've been on the end of a nine away at Carl Shorten. That was a sad day. Yeah,
I've seen the score 9-3 times over the years.
Wow. And you complain as a Spurs fan. Look at all the glory you have. We should also say well done to Wolves for beating Arsenal 4-1. This is the agreement that I have with the Marseille owner on great goals being worth more.
Oh, okay,
and,
yeah.
Joao Martinez, that was the three-goaler for me.
Yeah.
It was an absolutely beautiful strike, wasn't it?
So. It was. Well, there was a period when Joao Martinez, it was almost like a thought for the day moment, where there was a point where Joao Martinez nearly signed for Spurs. And in many ways, last night, he did.
Yeah, we'll get on to the red card.
Yeah, we will get on to the red card. Because, you know, far be it from me. And if, you know, I didn't think, I thought that was very harsh on Luis, really. It was clumsy.
I think it's a daft law.
It is a daft law. We'll get into that with Sam Matterface, who has been a bit of a cheerleader for VAR in the past, was broadly supported, went along and to Stockley Park. I don't know, you went there as well.
I was brainwashed too.
And
yes.
they did a bit of a PR, well, not a PR job, they showed you how it worked. And I think when you see that side of things, you do have a certain understanding and sympathy, and you have a knowledge of the processes. But I think Sam was railing earlier on today.
I did go to Stockley Park, and it did make me sort of more
understand
the process.
Is it like Willy Wonka's chocolate? What's it like?
Well, the thing that I really took away that I couldn't get away from is around the whole office are life-sized sort of posters of all the referees. So there's like to scale Craig Pawson and Paul Tierney's in the, you know, like, just imagine like
what they're like deities. You touch them, like you this is Anfield sign, you touch them on the way through.
I suppose that's what Stockley Park is, you know, but
so if you're a young VAR official and you're there and you touch Graham Scott, you may be touching greatness, and you too could get one of those games.
I found that was my main takeaway. Yeah. When they were trying to show me how VAR worked on the monitors, I was just...
They have lit candles in front of all the portraits. You know, small shrines.
Choose your favourite.
That would be lovely,
exactly.
Wouldn't it?
Referee of the month they had as well. Oh. You know, he's made the best decisions this month.
It's an incredibly bitchy world, the world of officialdom and refereeing.
Yeah,
it's
totally.
I mean, I've said before, they're like supermodels. They're all at each other and under... But in a jokey way. But, they're, you know,
do you think there's an underlying...
Oh, yeah, I do.
Because, you know, Kalina and Ellery are in like Castle Grayskull, and then you've got like Keith Hackett outside, like throwing stones, you know, not allowed, and going disagreeing with everything. I mean, it is. Can I just also mention that just before the game at Newcastle, right? And actually, I thought I'm on a WhatsApp group with some Newcastle fans, and actually, they weren't that angry yesterday because Newcastle gave it a go, and it was two mid-range Premier League teams both having a go.
Newcastle. I was saying yesterday they got to build on this. They'll really send out a statement. What do they do? They lose at home to Palace.
It was so wet and cold. You could see when they panned across the. You saw the referee in the.
It was Newcastle. It's not on TV, is it? I mean, what do you expect?
I'm aware of
Newcastle
in
February.
That. I'm aware.
It was wet and cold. What about that?
It's not like I'm not here to. It's not breaking news. I'm hearing.
Of England, wet and cold in February.
My understanding is it was cold
pitches
in Newcastle.
Last night,
more as I get it. Yeah. But they could at least give Steve Bruce a hood, couldn't they? I mean, he was just sodden, totally sodden. Big Sam's got like a big...
It's a sign of weakness, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
If you pull the hood up, the brolly, it doesn't take much for it to be a sign of weakness, does it really? You've got to stand there and get wet. So it's certain for the team, he could have done what he liked.
Can we do a crowdfunder for Steve, just to get Steve Bruce a hood?
Yeah.
Just one of those, one of those sort of big yellow ones that fishermen wear.
Oh, that'd be nice. Yeah, he'd look good in that.
I think he'd look really good, wouldn't he?
Yeah. It seems he's not. I looked for some quotes. I looked in a couple of the papers today for some quotes from Steve, but of course, I don't think he's still speaking to the written press. So we had to rely on what Roy had to say and not what Steve had to say. So as far as I know, anyway.
Oh, well. You know, maybe you'll talk to them again. You know,
We are going to talk later on about Sean Dyche's press conference, which was a lot of fun and very, very different from what we usually expect. He covered everything, the stuff he's watching on telly at the moment. Bridgerton, he's very much enjoying the bodice rippers when he's not plotting the downfall of Manchester City. So he did seem very upbeat for a bloke who's playing a team that he's lost to 5-0 four times in a row.
He's so right. Press conferences are so... I know we cover them. They're so boring, aren't they? Manager says, I really respect the opposition. Mm. They're a tough side. They're going to be hard to beat, whoever they are.
Yeah.
And then afterwards they say, oh, well, yeah, and we've got some injury problems. It's going to be tough for us.
Well, I mean, to be fair, they're not there as... They're there to pass on information, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know, they're not there.
Maybe I'm expecting too much.
You probably are expecting the Rat Pack live at the Sands or something. But anyway, it was a very interesting press conference. We'll play some of it a little bit later on. We're going going to have to be playing look-alike cricket with them. He sounds like he's a man after our own heart. Does love a bit of a look-alike in sport. So we'll be finding out more about that from a journalist who probably speaks to him more than most. But we would love to hear from you this afternoon. Have you had a kind of fairly odd, unlikely conversation with the stars?
Yeah.
So, you know, you've kind of, you know, you, if you see somebody famous, whether it's from sport or otherwise, you tend to sort of home in on what they do, whether they're movie stars or footballers or cricketers or golfers or whatever, and you talk about that. But now and again, you could just shoot the breeze with the stars.
I'll give you two because I put it out on Twitter. Ryan says, when I was in school, we did comic relief Mile Run around the grounds of Checkers. I had a brief conversation with Tony Blair and Colin Jackson about nipple chafing. That's quite good.
That's good, yeah.
And this is from L. I have no more context. Being asked, do you think he's dead, by Gianluca Vialli?
Really?
Where did that go? Who knows?
Do you think it... Who was he talking about?
Well, we don't
who
know. Could have been an animal. Could have been a person. We don't know.
So if Luca Vialli walks straight up to you and says, do you think he's dead?
I mean... Start of a film noir, isn't
surely,
it?
Surely... The first thing you say is, who?
Isn't it? Oh, that's all... I didn't ask for any more information because I didn't want any more information. So that's all we've got.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Just don't tell me no, you stop it still. Then you make it rush. You're like a pig. Tell me to stop, but I keep on going. Tell me to stop, but I keep on going. Tell me to stop, but I keep on going. Keep on, keep on, keep on. You'll never stop this thing.
You know what it is now, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, we're saying if you've been watching your football on Sky, it has been pretty ubiquitous with so much live football on. Not that that's a bad thing, it's a fine song.
Absolutely.
It's Celeste, it's called... Stop This Flame, and it's from her new album, Not Your Muse, and she joins us now. Celeste, good afternoon.
Hello.
How are you?
So how do you feel about this fame amongst football fans at the moment? It's a bit weird, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess so, because I know like a lot of my friends have been watching the football like this whole time, but I don't really see it that often, so I haven't really heard it myself that much, but yeah, I think it's cool that it's like being on there. It's been really helpful in like people hearing more of my other music too.
Yeah, I suppose it would do, because they would listen to that, think, oh, I like that, I wonder what it is, and they'll look it up and hopefully they'll go and listen to the whole album.
Yes, I suppose.
Well, look, it must have happened at least once.
Yeah.
Exactly.
what's the sort of true meaning of the song? I'm trying to work out if it really fits to an ex-pro talking about how upset they are with a certain manager's tactics. I don't know if the song has a meaning that links to that at all.
Yeah, well, I guess like people always, well, I'm not sure, but I think people quite often take it as like a love song, but really like it's a song about like facing like challenge and like adversity and like coming up against it and then kind of getting past it. So I think that's why like some of the sports like channels have been like using it for their season. I know like the rugby have used it too as well. Mm. So, yeah.
Do you have much of a say in it, Celeste? I mean, is it if you did not wanted that to happen, I suppose you could, but is it something that's done with your sort of publishing? Or when they run it past you and say Sky want to use it for their football coverage?
Yeah, exactly. They just ask me if I'm okay with it once the sort of opportunity comes about. But I think like for the Premier League, maybe like 10 songs get put in like a hat kind of thing. Mm. And then it gets sort of cut down to 3, and then between those 3 it gets decided by like I guess a board of people.
I thought it was gonna be like an FA Cup draw.
Graham Kelly and Bert Millage
of a knockout competition.
So do they ring you and they say, yes, yours is the song that's going to be on Sky's, but we're going to 8 seconds of your song, and is 8 seconds enough for you to be able to buy a new house with all the Sky money? or is that not enough time?
I'm not sure. I'll have to wait and see what my PRS statement is at the end of next year or something, or this year. But it's still really good because people can actually Shazam it in that amount of time, which is kind of the main way people find out now.
Absolutely, yeah. It was a great year for you last year, well, up until March, obviously. You were the sound of 2020. You were going to tour. Everything was planned. And then, of course, like a lot of people, all of us, not just people in the music business, that was all cut short. So must have been sort of very frustrating.
Yeah, it was at first. It was quite daunting to think like how are we gonna like do all the things that we wanted to do with this like massive change to the world. But we kind of just like turned our hand to like another side of it, which was just like writing more. I was just at home writing a lot. And I kind of made some videos. I made a couple of music videos, like just with like the equipment that I had at home. And like, luckily I live with two friends, and one of them, Holly, she's always on tour with me taking photos and filming. So she helped me to make such a lot of stuff like during lockdown. So we just kind of like adapted to what we were kind of faced with, I guess.
I was interviewing John McClure, a big Sheffield Wednesday fan from Reverend and the Makers. Yeah. You know, it's a great band, and they obviously live, like gigging for them is just, it's everything to them. And he was saying, listen, you know, it's been so difficult for music artists, and, you know, certainly from our point of view, I don't know how you feel, Paul, feel very lucky that we've been able to carry on our job.
Absolutely.
It's the luck of the draw what you end up doing and whether you can carry on doing it. But he was saying, eventually, you know, when there can be gigs again, he was like, it'll be like the next Summer of Love. It'll be like Woodstock. It'll be crazy. Like, that moment will be amazing when it happens, won't it?
Yeah, that's all I've been thinking of this whole time. And like, I just imagine like every corner is like a street party, and there's like festivals and gigs. And like, I imagine it will be like that. I hope it actually is.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
But I'm sure you're aware by now, because he's gone viral, that the Burnley manager, Sean Dyche, gave a different kind of press conference. Yeah. Well, I mean, normally on a Thursday, the Moose joins us to round up the best of the managerial press conferences. And, you know, let's be honest, they're straight up and down. They tell you who's fit. They tell you who's not fit. They tell you that they respect the opposition. They tell you what you expect to hear. With Sean yesterday, he just went off message a bit, didn't he? Talked about watching Bridgerton on telly,
wasn't it?
Playing a bit of the lookalike game when he's even during matches when Burnley are playing. Anyway, we'll kick off one of the questions that came in, this was Sean in action.
Has anybody ever told you you look just like Mick Hucknall?
It's uncanny you say that. Apparently, I look very much like Chris Evans too. I mean, I can't see it, personally speaking. I can't see it. But apparently I do, so it's a fair point that you make.
I have no idea where these press conferences are going anymore. No idea.
They're brilliant because they're less boring. It's like lockdown's really hard for everyone. It's really boring for everyone. So we're just having a natter and just trying to show a bit of humanity in the world. You know what I mean? We are human. The boring questions, they bat them off. You ask me a silly question, I give a silly answer.
We're sunk to looky-likeys now.
Situation.
We're what? Sunk to looky-likeys.
No, we're not. Yeah, we're raising ourselves to looky-likeys. Looky-likeys make the world go. Have you never sat in a pub? Well, although that seems like a distant memory. Well, your mates and just found looky-likeys in the pub. It's one of the best bits of fun you'll ever have in a night. Trust me, just do it. The next time you're allowed in a pub, sit with some friends. You're probably only allowed three, but anyway, sit with some friends or something, and you look for looky-likeys. Brilliant, brilliant fun. Love looky-likeys.
I tell you now, do you know, has anyone seen the kids' film? Right, you know the little old man with the glasses on? I swear to you, we were playing away at Sunderland, and a live human version of the man in Up was there. And I said to the lads, right, but the staff went, oh my God, lads, I've got the best one ever, I've got the best one ever. I was nudging around the table, because he was just literally at the bar there, and I was nudging, and I was going, the fella out of Up. Oh my God, they were crying. They were crying. It's the best looky-likey I've ever had. It literally was the cartoon man out of Up, but in a human form. It was bizarre. The lads went, oh my God, that is actually him. To the point when you like want to get a selfie, you know, when M. Subliminal was, when he's at the bar, you just turn and go, dunk.
The bloke from Up and Bungle were the two. What pubs is he? What pubs is he in? Who looks like Bungle?
Is it the pub in Star Wars?
Yeah.
Bloke over there looks like, just like Jabba the Hutt. Well, it was. Anyway, Dan Black from the Burnley Express probably spends more time with Sean on press conferences than most of us. And he joins us now. Hi, Dan. Hello, Dan.
Oh, well, that's a shame, isn't it? Do you want to go and look alike while we wait?
Yeah, we'll have a game door.
I'll tell you a good... on Throwback Thursday on Twitter, I put up a picture of Ben Affleck. Mm-hmm. And I said, at a time when I was looking pensive... A while back, I got an email from my mum saying, it's a lovely picture of you on Twitter. Yeah, love is blind, isn't it?
Yeah,
that was tremendous.
So she, what was it, a young Ben Affleck?
Ben Affleck. And there's a film where he has some sort of, he's quite ill, and I look a bit more like him in that one than in sort of peak Affleck. I'm not so sure.
I think we've got Dan there. Hiya, Dan. Hello, Dan.
Hello.
Hi, Dan. Oh, what a relief. We're going to have to play Sean Dyche again, talking about the bloke from Up. Were you expecting that?
To be honest, yeah. It's pretty much like that every week. Like you say, I think some press conferences can be quite mundane, can't they? They just, you know, churn out the same old line every week in, week out. But with Sean, you always get something new, so it's it always keeps you on your toes anyway.
Does it make the journalist start thinking, well, I want to think of a fun question for Sean Dyche? Like, how many sort of normal football-y questions do you have to get through before someone says, you know, how many, you know, would you prefer an arm made of cheese or you know, lettuce for fingers or whatever?
No, I think that's generally the warm-up. You know, I think they pick a topic, start to get him talking, and that's how you keep him going. But yeah, he's not broke out into song or into dance yet. But I wouldn't be surprised if that happened in the forthcoming press conferences.
It's interesting that not a lot of that side of him has emerged before yesterday. I wonder why yesterday everybody decided to pick up on it, because you said if he does it quite often, it's strange we've not heard that side of him before. I mean, he comes across well, I'm not saying that, but normally it's pure football stuff we get from the press conferences.
Yeah, I was surprised at the way it blew up. Cause like I say, we see that kind of side of him every week, really. You know, he's quite a showman. He knows how to kind of entertain the audience. So, yeah, it came as a surprise when I saw it going viral. But I guess it's just something a little bit different. It's an aspirate break from the norm, you know, especially, you know, in these times where people are struggling, people are a bit down. It's nice to see a different side to it, you know, especially a Premier League manager, isn't it?
Is he equally amenable to talk about looky-likeys after a heavy defeat? Or do you have to be more careful then?
Tonight might be a good chance to test that theory.
Yeah. Okay, as the fifth goal goes in again for the fifth time in a row, you say, look, bloke over there looks like the fella from Lady
like
in
Zippy.
The Tramp.
He looks like Zippy.
There's some of the other cast of Rainbow. Yeah, see how that goes down.
He might prefer talking about lookalikes rather than talking about another 5-0 defeat at the hands of Manchester City, mightn't he? So he... I might test that one tonight and see which way it goes, and I'll let you know.
That bloke looks a lot like Pep Guardiola. He'll be saying, oh, it is.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Who do you call at 7 p.m. to find out if you've had a good show or not? You know, to call the boss, do you call the no? Call Alan? Do you call Alan? Or who,
well,
you
I just...
I call Simon Jordan.
I work on the basis that if I hadn't, they'd let me know. I'll wait for the bad news to come to me. I won't go looking
well, you've
for
been
it.
You keep being selected.
Still getting away with it. We asked earlier on, didn't we, off the back of the Sean Dyche press conference, that conversation took a weird turn, although according to Dan, who we spoke to earlier on, maybe not as weird as we think. He often does that. But we wondered about your unlikely conversations with the stars. And Paddy says, I had an unlikely conversation with your very own Ali McQuest on a flight to Portugal. We got chatting about a bottle of Lilt. Ali kindly agreed to have a photo with the Lilt.
Of course he did.
He said, we also found Chris Akabusi's Costco card and returned it to him. I think Chris would have seen the funny side. He does most things. Which led to a Costco-based discussion.
John says, pushing the limit of sports stars, but I've chatted at length with Darren Ward about mortgages and the Chuckle Brothers.
That's good.
Yeah. Stuart says, I spoke to Phil Thompson about a fireplace he was selling once. It's when Phil Thompson was lifting the European Cup. Then one day I'll talk to him about hearth. And Nick Harris, that's Sporting Intel, the journalist. I once had a conversation with Anna Kournikova about bras. So there we are.
Sounds a bit creepy, Nick.
It does.
Wes says, being introduced to Nicholas Lyndhurst by my wife, I was conscious of how annoyed he probably got talking about his Rodney character in Only Fools and Horses. So instead, I chose to discuss the awful journey on the way into Chichester.
Very good. It is a nightmare, isn't it?
I take it you were in Chichester at the time.
Anyone else wants to get in touch and tell us quite how bad it is driving into Chichester? I'd love to hear from you. Save it for the weekend.
It's pretty easy at the moment. Save that for the weekend.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Yeah, thanks for getting in touch this afternoon. Mundane chats with the stars. It all came really from Sean Dyche going off menu.
Sort of unexpected conversations.
Yeah, unexpected conversations. I once had an in-depth conversation with the late, great Rick Mayo about coal mines, says Paul Forrestal. Thank you for that, Paul.
Well, actually, I remember once... on the Sunday warm-up with Barry, we were looking ahead to the Manchester United game with Bez from the Happy Mondays, apparently a Manchester United fan, but he just did 5 minutes, quite impassioned anti-fracking conversation.
Oh, really?
Barry and I were like, well, we'll go with this, why not?
Yeah.
We don't talk about fracking a lot on this radio station, do we?
I mean, even though most people listening, if you said we had a conversation with Bez, you'd just say Bez, but you have to say from the Happy Monday.
You do,
You are duty bound.
Not a fan of fracking, so there we are.
Okay.
We didn't, and also on the show, I'd like
he
to
was definitely saying fracking.
He was, yes, and there was no, we didn't have any for balance pro frackers on the show, so apologise for that. Tony says, Gary Pallister gave me a surprisingly cogent review of the only book he'd ever read, The Da Vinci Code. His voice was full of panic at having to describe literature, and it sounded unconvincing. But when I reviewed the words I'd written down, I was genuinely impressed. It's interesting that Tony took notes on Gary Pallister's review of The Da Vinci Code.
Well, he must have been interviewing me. It couldn't have been a chance meeting with him in the street. And they said, hang on, I must write this down. I must get your take on make it quotable. This comes from Dan. I used to work at a service station on the M6 and Paul Scholes came in. We had a bit of a chat about service station food. And then I served him a burnt sausage and a soggy jacket potato.
See, I don't think it's a surprising conversation with Paul Scholes if you're in the service station serving him the food. I think that's probably... It's almost the most obvious conversation you'd have with Paul Scholes.
I mean, I don't think he's got off the coach and Fergie has said, go on, boys, fill your boots in Kay's Country Kitchen. I would imagine it was like he was probably there with the family or something.
I don't want to criticise Paul Scholes, because when I said he you know, he wasn't in my starting 11 footballers of all time, he was listening. So he has become part of my... He's the greatest footballer I've ever seen. He's better than Maradona.
Staying with United. Tom, you see Tom here, bumped into Nemanja Matic approximately 4 a.m. in Dixon's Electrical in Manchester Airport prior to a flight to Copenhagen. As a United fan, instead of talking about the beautiful game, we momentarily chatted about travel pillows before his missus told him to get a move on.
Matt says, I once had a conversation with Marcel Desailly about European property prices, European property investments in a bar in Dubai.
Yeah.
Whereas Max says, I used to regularly talk to Bobby Gould about egg sandwiches. So, two ends of the financial spectrum there.
Of course, Bob. Bob would happily indulge in that kind of conversation. You know,
absolutely.
We know that for experience.
Can I send an apology to @64CFC?
Well, it's always... I think that makes it more heartfelt when you make him sound like a droid.
I don't have his name.
Okay, fair enough.
With many apologies to @64CFC. What power you have, he says, Max. Just by listening to your show, I'm now being targeted with screw extraction adverts by Facebook. And he sent me a picture. Just by listening to this show last week,
He was sent adverts now regularly on social media for the screw extractor 4-piece, 5-piece, 6-pieces Magaloft screw extractor. So I do apologise. I didn't realise that this is where it would end up with.
Yes. Well, look, we haven't got around to talking about how you sorted out your great DIY issue, but we'll try and get around to it a little bit later
Speaking
on.
Speaking of robots. Were we speaking of robots?
No, we weren't.
Scientists can now build a quantum brain that allows robots to think like humans.
Yeah.
Isn't that good? The discovery of an intelligent material that works like our brain cells was announced yesterday. Isn't the idea of robots that they don't think like humans?
Yeah.
That they...
Isn't that when they take over the world? The basis of many a sci-fi disaster movie?
Well, we're now in stock in the TalkSport shop. You can have robots with the brains of any TalkSport presenter... that you like the best. So, you can get an Alan Brazil.
They can't be cheap then. No, they've kept that quite. I'm sure when I did the read, it was mainly just beanies and face masks. They're selling robots.
They've traded up. Robots with the brains of TalkSport presenters. You get 2 for 1. If you buy Alan Brazil, you get Jim White for free.
That's really
a good one,
2 for 1.
But offer only open today. Terms and conditions do apply.
Terms and conditions, I mean, it's not true, of course. Mm. This is the character who once had an Instagram with you. This is Liam. Have you not read this one?
No, I read it to you in a break.
Give it to me in a break, yeah.
News for prisoners. Remember Charlton Gary yesterday was wondering about whether he could commit a crime and still get the vaccine early.
He thought if he gets banged up, he can get the vaccine.
Prison inspectors are demanding...
High price to pay.
Absolutely. Prison inspectors are demanding longer beds after an influx of very tall prisoners. Wow. They told chiefs at HMP Wayland in Norfolk, it's something of a challenge for a 6'7" lag to fit on a 6'3" mattress.
Yeah.
So that will make a change to the tactics that the prison manager has to, you know, he's, because previously at HMP Wayland they've been playing a sort of ticker-tacker style.
They keep it on
the
floor.
But now they've got a lot of big lads in, they're going to have to go a bit more direct. If you're a prisoner in another prison, you're about to... Do they play each other?
They're sort of an Aguero-like striker.
Exactly,
It's the little ones you've got to watch out for.
Absolutely.
They're often the worst, aren't they?
Totally.
So now they're just lumping it into the box, are they? I don't think... I mean, it wouldn't be great, but if you're dealing with someone who's inside, I don't know what they're inside for, but if they're 6'7", 6'8", and have had a bad night's sleep, that's not good, is it? In the morning,
but
when they go down to breakfast.
They could be that. You're right. They could be like the sort of the gentle.
I say go down to breakfast. I'm working out they're on a landing, not that they're on the fourth floor of
these prisons. You know what happens in these prisons? Yeah. They come in.
Guess who I saw in the lift? I saw Razors. I'd not seen him for ages. I thought he'd been let. It'd be great.
I say, are you coming down for breakfast, or should we bring it to deliver it to your room? Paul?
I may just go continental today. Let's have a riot.
And anyway, Charlton Gary wrote to the Star yesterday. Yep. The letters page in the Star was it was quite filled with a lot of anger and hate. Okay. Except for Woody the Scaffolder in Middlesbrough.
Good old Woody,
whose letter to the Daily Star was, "What's your favourite winter tea? Mine's sausage, egg and chips." There you are.
Well done, Woody.
Thank you, Woody the Scaffolder. Bring some joy.
Let's put the world in perspective. So, it is Paul Hawksby and Max Rushton here on TalkSport. We're going to put a consoling arm around a Southampton fan in a moment. As you may have gathered, they lost 9-0 last night.
Do you know what's happened before recently, Paul?
No, really?
It was going against Leicester City. No one's really... It's surprisingly unmentioned by people. But Ralph Hasenhüttl kept his job, also a surprise. Yeah. And then it happened again last night.
We put 7 past them once at the Lane when Glenn came back with Southampton. And it was a sobering 7-2. And I remember him saying afterwards, that was never a 7-2 game. I'm thinking, I'm sure it was. I saw 9 goals go in, 7 of them to us. But you knew what he meant.
Yeah.
I mean, it was. I think he felt it was a slightly skewed result. So anyway, what's it like being a Saints fan today, picking up the pieces? It's very interesting. No one's calling for the manager's head, are they?
No, it'll be fine.
In this situation before, and he turned it round. So I think we're all worked on, even last night watching it, it would be... Normally, far more seismic than I think we felt last night. Maybe VAR got in the way. I don't know.
It's because there were so many goals so late.
Yeah,
it was basically a 6-0, and then just three happened, and everyone was like, "Oh, that's interesting." I did think if they got to 10, we'd stop talking about the 9-0 Leicester game.
Yeah,
that would be the silver lining.
By that stage, were you almost hoping they were going to get 10?
A little part of me, yes. No one ever gets 10. Although, to be fair to Manchester United, I'd get very frustrated when it's 4-0 at half time, 5-1 at full time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, double it or you don't get the points.
No, that's very unfair. Okay, I think at this time...
I take it back. I was being sensationalist for TalkSport purposes.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Paul Hawksby and Max Rushton here on Talk Sport. One of the scorers for Forest Green last night.
Oh, yes.
Got a spectacular first name.
What is it?
Odin.
Oh, well, that is strong, isn't
it? Yeah, that is. I mean, you know, they're going to expect you to like a bit of a tear up if you're Odin Bailey, aren't they?
I think, yesterday when we were talking about Niskin's Cabano,
yeah.
So it's high pressure to be a Norse god from your parents.
I mean, that's an awful lot riding on that. Anyway.
Do you think he does a kind of thunder strike celebration?
I'd like to think he does.
He gets a massive hammer and hits the floor.
Thor's dad, isn't he, Odin?
I think so.
I'm not well up on me Norse.
He hits the pitch.
You really got to listen to our sister station Talk Norse. Really, that's where you'll find
a lot of this is talking Norse.
Yeah,
isn't it?
We talk a lot of Norse. Anyway, let's move away from the Norse and move on to Southampton. Beaten 9-0 once again. It's the second time in a couple of seasons. This time away from home. There was 10 men last time. It was 9. There were, you know, extraneous circumstances. Well, there were for some other game anyway. So, how are the Southampton fans feeling today? We turn now to a man who can normally see the funny side of most things, as he's a comedian, but has this sort of put him under strain? Who knows? Paul McCaffrey joins us. Good afternoon, Paul.
Hi, how you doing?
It's good. I can hear the tension in your voice. I mean, how are you feeling today? Let's get that out of the way.
Well, let's just say first and foremost, I was waiting for the call from TalkSport. I mean, I will say this time, at least you waited until the day after. After Leicester, it was the body wasn't even cold. I don't think the final whistle had even blown. You're like bloody ambulance chasing lawyers.
I remember after the Leicester game. You know, I was on a Saturday and we were sort of laughing about it, you know, the horizontal run. I mean, it couldn't have been worse because it was like so wet. And a Southampton fan accused us of having a media agenda for, you know, peddling the 9. I was like, you did lose 9-0 last night. But it's interesting. This one, you're almost getting a free pass. Everyone says, oh, Southampton do this sometimes and it'll be fine.
Exactly. It's sort of part of our character. I think the thing is, obviously, it had just started to die down. It was like a Pavlovian response. Anytime anyone mentioned Southampton, the next thing, you know, like a pundit would say was, oh, well, obviously the Leicester 9-0. And I think just because of the sheer volume of football at the moment, it had kind of died down a little bit. So you've got to feel sorry for Ralph. It's going to sort of, you can't help but think this is going to come to define him now, really, as the man who lost 9-0 in two consecutive seasons. I mean, I'm laughing, but it's, you know.
The interesting thing, though, Paul, is that, you know, most managers who'd lost 9-0 for a second time, you'd think you'd be expecting the announcement, you know, thanking for his services. But this guy's come through that and done very well to rebuild the side after a 9-0. So the expectation, they walked off last night, I thought, oh, yeah, they'll be all right. He's done this before. They'll bounce back. You know, they've got a lot of injuries. They'll be okay. I mean, you know, that's a sort of neutral's take on it. But that sort of feels the situation. I don't know how you feel about it today. Do you want him gone?
Oh, no, absolutely not. No, I really like him. And, you know, let's not forget, obviously, after the last 9-0, we did then go on a really good run. And, you know, obviously, this is kind of coming at the... I know our form's not been great for the last sort of few weeks, but prior to that, we've had a good season. We were top at the beginning of the season. You know, we've sort of there or thereabouts for a while. So I think, not that I'm saying it's pipe and slippers time, if there are any Saints players listening, you know what I mean? It's not like we've done our work now. It's time to sort of put our feet up. But, you know, we're not going to get sucked into a relegation battle. I'd be amazed, you know. It definitely does feel different this time. It's not, it doesn't feel like, oh my God, what's the rest of the season going to be like? Because we've already got 29 points and, yeah.
How were the first 2 minutes of the game for you?
Do you know what? I wasn't watching. I had a Zoom gig last night, so I thought, I'll tune in for the second half.
Oh, no.
So I'd done that, and then I saw that it was 4-0. I thought, I won't bother. And then I sort of just tuned in, and I saw Shea Adams' goal. And then obviously the VAR, so I thought, oh, I'm not going to bother. So I turned it off, and then I sort of went back. It was like picking a scab. And then I sort of saw two Man United goals in sort of the space of about 4 minutes, which I think put it at 7-0. And then I just thought, oh, I can't be bothered with this. But I don't think anyone was thinking at that point it was going to be another 9-0.
No. It's true. I mean, it's
look like lightning doesn't strike twice, does it?
Isn't comedy? Isn't that the rule of three? Are you slightly worried that, you know, there'll be another one of these?
They're going to start calling him the police if it's 999. Yeah, I can't. I mean, surely not. We can't make this a seasonal tradition.
It's nice. It's almost like it's like Groundhog. It was Groundhog Day yesterday.
I know, that's the thing. It was actually Groundhog Day. It
would be nice if they could kind of keep it as a bit of a tradition. Every year we got to chuck in a nine.
With a red card, an unnecessary red card, a bit of VAR.
You have to make, as a club, you have to make a kind of a good cogent case for why Southampton should lay down for you. Like, it could have been like Sheffield United. We're really putting a shift in, but we need a bit. We need to get the goal difference up, or Sam.
Exactly.
Jose, dear Ralph.
Jose saying, look, it's not worked for Gareth Bale. It'd be great if he could score five and set up four against his former club. That would be perfect for him.
But that's probably not a great idea. I mean, I suppose we see what happens next and we see how they bounce back from this. Because
there's obviously a problem, I will say, with the sort of depth of our squad. That much, I think it was plain to see with the bench, you know. I think when we saw there was two keepers on the bench, alarm bells started ringing. But yeah, it's...
Does he need a bit more help from upstairs, Paul? I mean,
I would say so, There doesn't seem to be. And also, I just hope, you know, obviously there's been talk of Ings leaving already. And I mean, if he goes in the summer, that would be a big blow.
Yeah. Yeah, he's an excellent... He is an excellent... But it's funny.
I mean, he's absolutely incredible.
He's a wonderful player. I just think Ralph's got so much right. It is incredibly strange that he's sort of got a free pass. You know, I suppose people like talking about VAR. But it's mad to lose twice 9-0. No one's ever done it. I know I'm just repeating what we said about 2 minutes ago, but it's only really just dawned on me now that we should be going in not sort of two-footed, because that's not a good idea.
We've equaled our own record. It isn't like... It's incredible.
Yeah.
I was saying, Paul, that if it had been 10, people wouldn't talk about the 9 against Leicester. Do you think that might have been...
That's one way of shutting people up, isn't it?
That might have been
going on and
better.
Losing 10-0 the next season.
Yeah. The fact, as we said, the fact he has done it, he'll be able to say to the players, I think he'll be watching the video back, and they'll be having a bit of a team meeting about it. But he can say, look, we've been here before, boys. So mentally, you go to Newcastle at the weekend, who weren't stunning last
rare
night.
Rare
really.
And unwanted position of being able to sort of like draw from experience after losing 9-0. All right. What did we do last time, guys? What do we need to...
We'll just do that again. Just say to them, what we did last time, let's just do that again.
Do you think...
We need another pandemic. Our form, I mean, we were like the form side after the break last time. I don't know.
Yes, I mean, it's difficult. It's a difficult one to try and get past everyone else, I'd say.
Yeah,
Paul.
We're not basically keen on that for
this reason. But I'm trying to think which 9-0 was worse. I tend to think the first one, because there were fans there and the weather was so... I mean, the weather wasn't great yesterday.
And it was at home and there were more players on the pitch.
Yeah,
there.
So the first it's a step in the right direction. Say that again, sorry.
I went to the Everton game, which was the next game after that. It's the next home game after that at St Mary's. I mean, that was literally one of the worst games of football I've ever been to. We only lost 2-1, I think it was, from memory. But it was just... Oh. I mean, that to me was a worse game. It was terrible. But who knows? Yeah. I mean, the first half of the season was fantastic. You know, a joy to watch. Everyone was enjoying watching them, playing good football. Theo Walcott, it felt like a bit of a rebirth. I was unsure about him coming. He really looked like he was sort of enjoying his football again. And, I think it's just a minor blip. I think you'd be hard-pushed to call it a minor blip. It is quite a major blip, but a blip nonetheless.
We got a bit of stick earlier on from some callers for saying we did have some sympathy for Jankovic, who got sent off after a minute and a bit. It was a bad tackle. He had to go off. I wouldn't say it was a naughty one. It was badly timed. It didn't look malicious. It was just ridiculous. It was just like a kid who'd got too excited on his debut. But how are you feeling about him? Would you put an arm around the shoulder if you could do that at the moment?
It was idiotic. Yeah, I think there was nerves at play. I mean, it was... I don't know. I suppose you just got there's an element of you've just got to kind of go, right, let's just move on. And
yeah,
I mean, I suppose if this one wasn't as bad as the Leicester one, then it's a step in the right direction. So you can take the positives.
Things are looking up. You've got to take the positives.
One. I think so. It's for positives. I was just checking. It's Bednarak, Ward-Prowse and Ings who started both those 9-0s. They're the only three. This is quite a big turnaround of players, isn't it? So,
it'll be good on the after-dinner circuit years to come, won't it?
There's going to be so many pub quiz questions that come as a result of this, isn't it? If nothing else, we are doing our bit for the pub quiz writers' of Great Britain.
Yeah. So, Paul, you said you did an online gig last night. You got a podcast you're involved in as well. Is that right?
Yes, me and Sean Walsh do a podcast called What's Upset You Now. If in the unlikely event you are one of the 10 people in the country that does not have a podcast of their own at this point, please. I think I knew it was bad when the royal family started doing their own podcast. You're like, right, this lockdown needs to end now. But yeah, it's a 15-minute episode, and it's just basically us ranting about petty grievances, basically. But it's people have really liked it. So yeah, What's Upset You Now, available on all platforms.
Fantastic. Thanks, Paul. Thanks Cheers, for mate. Joining us. Keep your chin up.
Thank you very much. All the best.
There we are, Paul McCaffrey there, comedian, and you can follow him at Paul McCaffrey's on Twitter and at paulmccaffrey.com to find out what he's up to. But look, he didn't seem too bad.
I think
fairly
so.
Philosophical.
But was there a moment there where we have to say, if you did catch any, like the commentators, if you did catch any agricultural language?
Oh, no, we got rid of that. Disappear. It was mildly agricultural, was but fine. We spared you at this time of day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Your homeschooling. Hey, look, he's just lost 9-0.
That's fair enough.
Cut him some slack.
I don't mind.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. We'll do it all again tomorrow from 1, won't we?
Hope so, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's the plan. There will be a birthday spread tomorrow, Andy Jacobs.
That's my favourite bit, and I've lost all of them. I've lost 3 in a row. Is it 3 or 4 in a row?
Well, you're on a roll after. We've just done a quiz today and you've won it, so that could be an omen. Oh,
fingers crossed.
So, Andy with us from 3:30 tomorrow. If you can join us from 1, that would be great. If not, the podcast will be available from around 5.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.